So my freshman year of high school, right? Keep in mind, I'd been either in private school or homeschooled. I started a public high school. I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing. Freshman year of high school, we were sitting in our science class, and, you know, you're in your science class, you kind of have the table, you know, that's, you know, like kind of science table. Anyway, sitting there, there's a table in front of us. You got your kind of lab partner next to you. Well, this girl, you know, directly diagonal in front of me, thought it was kind of cute, and there was homecoming coming up. So one day we're sitting in class, and we're kind of talking. The four of us would kind of work together on all our projects and things. We're kind of talking, and I basically like, well, will you go to homecoming with me? You know, keep in mind, she's in front of me. She's turned around. She's looking at me. And I say, would you go to homecoming with me? Her response is, turn around, put your head down, and just like the total like, I just am going to pretend that I never heard that. I was like, oh, man. Oh. And what it made it even worse, the guy sitting right next to me, Scott, you know, hears all this thing, because the four of us worked on all our product stuff together. Scott hears it, and just starts like, it looks like Aaron's in the dumpy. I'm like, oh, thanks. Just like rub it in here. Okay. My sophomore year of high school now, right? There's another girl that I like, and it's homecoming. Homecoming is coming up, and like I'm gonna ask her. And for me, it takes me a little like prep time to before I ask a girl anything. I'm like, you gotta build up the confidence, gotta psych yourself up for this. And so like I'm psyching myself for her. She's like over there. Anyway, she's over there like by her locker, and I'm like over here, and we're kind of like. Okay, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Okay, and it was almost like a bad episode of Saved by the Bell, okay? I don't know if you've any watched the show, you don't need to watch the show, but anyway, that episode of Saved by the Bell. It's because, like, I see right in front, like, right as I'm kind of like here, psyching myself, okay, Matt walks in. He walks right over, starts talking to her, asks her to homecoming, and I'm like, no! I'm so close, so close. Okay. Well, my junior year of high school now, okay? It's only getting better. My junior year of high school now, okay? This same girl that I wanted to ask my sophomore year that I got, you know, beaten out on, I'm like, I finally get the guts. I'm like, I'm going to do it early. This way I can't get cut off or anything like that. Got to get the guts to ask her. Now, honestly, I mean, real honest, I was not smooth. If I was this girl, I would have said no to me, too. So I asked this girl to homecoming, kind of awkward, but I did it. I got it out. And she gives me the, like, I'll have to think about it. Now, guys, I'm just going to clue you in on something. If a girl ever gives you the, I'll have to think about it, that's code for no, but I don't want to be mean to you, okay? That's the simple code. Okay? I mean, if she gives you the, like, I have to ask my parents or something like that, that's okay. But if she says, I'll have to think about it, that's code for no, okay? And so it kind of draws out for a week, and eventually I get the no, okay? My senior year, and the homecoming was coming around, and I was like, I am just not messing with this anymore. I'm totally, totally avoiding this whole topic and this subject. So today, this week and next week, we're going to be doing a series on relationships, and I think a lot of what it implies, is not just about guy-girl relationships, but it applies to all of our relationships and all of our friendships. And what I want to talk about this week is how to find a good date, okay? You're like, okay, that's a little interesting. Next week, I want to talk about how to be a good date, okay? This week about how to find a good date and how to be a good date. Now, some of you are probably like, Aaron, why on earth are you talking about this? Why? I mean, you've just told us how inept you were in high school and middle school when it came to girls. Why on earth are you talking to this? Well, listen to me for a second. Reality is, though, I hear a lot of your gossip. I hear a lot of the things that you guys are talking about on a weekly basis. This is not all of you here, but there is a vast majority of you here that I hear you're talking, and all you're talking about is who likes who, and who's going out with who, and you hear about this crush, and which boy is cute, and which boy is not cute, which girls are hot and not. And honestly, what I see from all of that is I see a lot of drama that's unnecessary. I see a lot of hurt friendships and hurt relationships. And I see a lot of pain. Because you're like, you know, you share with someone else who you like, and then they go off and gossip to everyone else about who you like. And you're like, man, I feel really hurt by that. A friend backstabbed me about that. Or you're like, you know, then you and a friend are competing over which, you know, whether or not the guy will like you more. You and your guy friend are all trying to impress the same girl. And you're like, man, this is killing my friendships. This is killing my relationships with my same gender friends. And I see all your drama, your hurt, and your pain. And I believe that God has something better for each of you. And honestly, I share this because I care about you. I share this because I see this area more than any other area is robbing a lot of you of joy. It's robbing you from what a true relationship with other people should look like, robbing you of what a relationship with God should look like. And yes, a lot of the things I'm going to talk about, okay, they're going to be uncomfortable. That's fine. But I want to cut some of the taboo about talking about this, because I think you need to hear what God's Word has to say on this subject. I think God's Word has a lot to say, and I want us to stop, and I want us to listen. And now, I understand in a crowd like this, there's a lot of people coming in here with different views, different thoughts. I mean, some of you, you're really interested in a relationship with a guy or a girl. You're really interested in the opposite gender. And that's cool. I understand that. It's where your hormones are at right now. Others of you are on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, and you could care less about the opposite gender. You're like, goodness gracious, why are we even talking about this? Girl, all girls have cuties, okay? Just let's ignore. Oh, who even wants to be around? Like, my six-year-old daughter, Sarah, got a Valentine this year. And it was like the cutest Valentine. It had all the X's and O's, and will you be my Valentine? And, I mean, it was so sweet and so kind. She hands it to me and says, look, did you see how he misspelled Valentine? Like, I mean, there was no, like, emotion, like, oh, how sweet of this. It was just, he misspelled Valentine, you know? I mean, that's all she cares about. Like, and so you could be in that arena, like, this, you're just like, whatever, I don't care. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle, and you're like, you know, okay, I see that, you know, guys are kind of cute, but I just see all this drama around it, so I don't want to mess with it. So, I mean, you could be on any end of the spectrum. And same way, you might be on the end of the spectrum when it comes to how your parents view this. I know some of you have parents that are like, you know, you're not dating until you're 25. And even then, you know, your parents can have some pretty strict rules on you. Others, your parents are like, you know, kind of do whatever. And there's a whole wide range of spectrums there. But regardless of where you are in this, I would really encourage you to listen over the next couple weeks. I'm going to read one verse to you out of Proverbs 12. It says this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And honestly, if you're just going to sit here and say, look, this doesn't apply to me. Look, this is just the dumb stuff the church has to say about this. I don't care about this. I'm going to point to this verse. The way of a fool is one who's just like, look, I don't need anyone else's wisdom on this. I don't care what anyone else has to say about this topic. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And I don't think you want to be characterized as a fool. But wise is he who's going to say, okay, I'm going to stop and I'm going to listen to this. And I guess I would really just encourage you. You've got a lot of your friends. You've got a lot of the world telling you one thing. And I'm going to be telling you something a little different. And I would just say, would you stop stop having any like prejudged, like this is what I'm coming with and this is what I'm going to leave with. And say, okay, I want to objectively consider what God and His Word has to say about this topic. Please just don't reject this before you hear it, because it applies to all of your friendships, regardless of your interest level. This is either an area that you need to deal with now or an area that you'll need to deal with in the future. I mean, I just throw out one last thing. There's a friend of mine who's in high school right now. He's got this girl that he is interested in, and I just think there's a little mutual attraction. But he's like, I'm not going to date her. I'm not going to date her until both my parents and her parents think it's a good idea. I'm like, and there are so many things in this world that you will save yourself a ton of headache from if you'll say, look, I'm going to stop and I'm going to objectively think through what is wisdom. What are my parents? What are maybe people older than me? Maybe you don't like listening to your parents. What are some other people older than me saying about this topic? So please, I just really would encourage you to stop and listen. So with that, let me just pray for our time together today. God, this is a huge topic, one that I don't even know. I've been having a hard time just grasping my head about how you want me to communicate this today. But God, I know you will design something better for our relationships with each other than what I see going on, what I even experience in my own life, Lord. God, help us to see your truth. Help us not to just go with what we think and go with what the world is telling us and go with what's right in our own eyes. But God, help us to see the truth that's in your word. Help us to submit to that truth and help us to really just see what you are doing and understand you and your word and your principles today. God, give me the words to say, and I just pray that this time would honor you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, first of all, as we talk about dating, you'll notice that the Bible, there is no examples of people dating in the Bible, okay? And that's because back in those times, they had arranged marriages. I mean, you see with Isaac and Rebekah, Abraham, Isaac's dad, sends his servant. He's like, I want a wife. I want this type of wife for my daughter, for my son. And I want you to go to this area, go back to my family and a lot of my relatives, find a wife for him amongst there, bring that girl back here. And so Abraham's servant, you know, goes there, finds Rebekah, meets with Rebekah's family and says, hey, you know, my master has a son, he's looking for a wife for his son, you know, will she come? And, you know, and so she agrees, she leaves the next day, she comes with the servant, sees Isaac from a distance, she sees Isaac and is like, hey, is that the guy I'm going to marry? And Isaac's, the servant says, yes. She puts a veil on, walks right up to him, they have a quick little wedding ceremony and they're married. I mean, that's the whole dating process in the Bible. So, Bible doesn't necessarily say have any great examples of people dating. Now, maybe you're like, hey, maybe that's the secret. My parents should have just an arranged marriage for me. Maybe not. While you don't see the examples, there are a ton of principles in the Bible that I believe apply to it. And the Bible says it has everything we need in it for life and godliness. It has everything that we need. And I really want us to hear the principles of this. One other kind of intro thing is I got to lay out what I think the Bible says would be the purpose of dating. What the purpose of dating would be according to the Bible. And just a quick little definition here. It says, I would say the biblical purpose of dating is for a man and a woman to figure out if God wants the two of them to get married. That's what I think God would say. This is the purpose of this. Now, you'll notice a few things that are missing from this. There's no, like, the purpose of dating is for two people to have fun together. Okay? Now, should it be fun? Yes. But that's not the purpose behind it. Should you enjoy your time with the person you're dating? Yes. It shouldn't be this, you know, miserable, boring, awful thing. But what is the underlying purpose behind it? And I'm going to talk about a little later today, we'll talk about, you know, why just dating for fun is probably not the wisest idea. So some principles. I'm going to read a couple passages to you and then talk about how they might apply apply to dating. So first passage here comes out of Philippians. He says this. This is Paul talking. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Do nothing out of just your own selfishness, out of just gratifying what you want. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. He lays out, I mean, a really powerful statement. The way that you should interact with others is putting others before yourself. He continues, in your relationships with one another and in all your interactions with guys or with girls, whoever it is, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on the cross. The example that he uses here in terms of how I should put others above myself is the example we see with Jesus Christ. That I should put others before me like Jesus put others before himself by dying for me. I mean, that's a really powerful statement. I mean, he came and he thought of me first when he says, look, I want them to have a relationship with me, and I know their sin is a problem in their life, so I'm going to live a perfect life, and I'm going to die for them so that anyone who would believe in me would have everlasting life. God says, I put you before me. And this kind of thought is continued in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The way that a guy should care about a girl is a sacrificial love, willing to give himself up for her. And look at the purpose behind this, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And his purpose is to make her better than she is, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. I mean, he's saying the goal in these relationships is to present that girl holy, blameless, making her better than she is, looking out for what's best for her rather than what's best for you. And I'm just going to be really blunt. If I take that as principles right there, even in your own mind, you start comparing those to what you see around you, amongst your friends, and kind of what dating looks like. Now, when I was 14 years old, I went to this 3-week science camp, okay? It was nerdy, okay? No, you know, I understand that, okay? It was a lot of fun. Well, all the guys around me, we're all hanging out, and it almost seemed to be, part of the problem with this science camp is it really was not the most well-supervised of all camps and environments. It was a non-Christian environment with a lack of supervision. And honestly, what happened while we were there is when you're with a bunch of guys unsupervised, all we're talking about is what girls are cute and who's dating who. And who's smart. I mean, you're going to try to one-up each other. And when I was in this environment, you know, everyone else is talking about who you're dating, who's cute, and all this sort of stuff. And so naturally, I'm like, okay, well, everyone else is, I guess I need to find myself a girlfriend. And the sad thing is my buddies and I, we'd sit around and, you know, we'd just kind of go through all the girls that were there and, you know, we'd kind of rate each one of them from 1 to 10. You know, like how hot they were on a rating scale of 1 to 10. And so there's this girl and I hate to even use the word dated because it was a silly, anyway, we dated for the last 2 weeks of camp. And the sad part about it, sad part about the whole thing, is the other week I was trying to remember what her name was. And it took me about a half an hour to remember her name. But it took me a long time to remember her name. But you know what I never have a hard time remembering? I never have a hard time remembering her rating. I know that she was 8.25. And here's the thing. How sad is that? I remember her rating, but not her name. And so you think about it. Let's think about it. If I apply these biblical principles to this, that I'm supposed to look out for her more highly than myself, consider her needs more than mine, why was I even dating her? I was only dating her because all my friends were dating him and I wanted to be cool and everyone else is doing it. And to be honest with you, think about a lot of the relationships you see around you. The vast majority of them, the purpose of them is to impress your friends. You don't even need to talk. You don't even need to talk to the girl you're dating, guys. You talk more about the girl to your friends to say, look, yeah, I'm dating this girl. Who are you dating? Yeah, I got a hotter looking girlfriend than you. That's what you do. And the girls, I don't know if it's that much better or different. Because you're like, you know, you're talking about how cute the guy is and how your boyfriend is sweeter than their other boyfriends. And I know what the conversations are, but I mean, let's be honest. Let's be really honest. Is that really looking out for what's best for the other person? Or is it just all about you? And to be honest with you, if your end goal is to have a relationship that is about the other person, that is never going to happen if you're starting out and the only point of your relationship is about you. You will never have a relationship that you can really honor that person and care about that other person if the goal of your relationship starts out with, hey, it is all about me. And I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm not trying to insult anyone here. But honestly, I mean, there's a guy or girl in this room under 18 who can live up to this standard. There are hormones that are going on in your body at this moment that really make living these principles near impossible for you. And I'm not trying to be mean here, but guys, you're selfish. You're selfish. We're selfish, lazy, and immature. And you guys are nodding and like, yep, I'm selfish, lazy, and immature. And as a selfish, lazy, and immature person, how on earth am I going to stop and say, I want to put someone else's needs above my own? And girls, I'm going to be bluntly honest with you. You are filled with way more drama than you're worth. And the girls are looking at each other and like, they're like, yeah, I know I'm full of drama. Yeah. And I'm not... My point in saying this is not to be mean, is not to knock on anyone, but there are hormones going on in your body, and until a lot of these things are dealt with, I don't think you can find a good date. And I'm not saying guys shouldn't talk to girls, and you know, we gotta have the guy side of the room and the girl side of the room. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying this whole who likes who business and obsessiveness about it is robbing you. It is stealing from you, and you're at an age where I don't think you can deal with it. Dating has its place. Dating, by nature, is not bad if done right, but I don't think it has its place in junior high. Give yourself time to develop your walk with the Lord. Give yourself time to develop as a person and figure out your own character before you start adding in this whole other dimension. My senior year of high school, I had given up on homecoming. The prom was coming up. And I mean, there's a senior prom and all that sort of jazz. And there's a girl that I liked then, again, you don't need to go there. A girl that I liked then, and I call her up. And I'm like, hey, would you go to prom with me? And she's actually excited to go to prom with me. I was like, wow, a girl was actually excited when I say, would you go to prom with me? Anyway, and immediately after I hung up the phone with her, I call one of my other friends. And essentially, part of my reason for calling was essentially to brag. Be like, look, you know, a girl actually said yes to me. You know, and I think a lot of you are looking and saying, look, I want a date because of the way it's going to make me feel. And I just challenge you, if you're looking to date, if you're thinking of, if you're only thinking about what this relationship can do for you, you shouldn't date. And now, we went from kind of our relationship kind of progressed. By the fall, you would have considered us Facebook official if it was such a thing as Facebook back then. We would have probably have put it on Facebook by then. And remember my purpose for dating. You know, it was to find out if God wanted the two of us to get married. Now, did I care about her? Yes. Was it all about me? No. But that all about me was the foundation of the relationship. And the purpose of our relationship was to have fun together. And ultimately, I'd say the purpose of our relationship was, and the purpose of any relationship that's based on fun, is I want to find my satisfaction in something other than God. If the purpose of my relationship is just to have fun, then my goal in this relationship is to have satisfaction in something other than God. And as my relationship with her increased, my relationship with God decreased. My desire for God decreased. And this is what the Bible says. It says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Put God first, and all these things will be given to, will be added to you as well. God says, seek him first, and all this other stuff will be taken care of. And I see in relationships, kind of two ways you can start the relationship. You can say, I am looking for this relationship to satisfy me. Or you can say, look, God is already satisfying me, and I'm looking for this relationship to push me deeper into my relationship with God. And what do I mean by that? Think of the average movie, okay? The average movie has one of two plots, okay? You can generally put all movies into one of two plots, okay? Okay, the girl and the guy are initially enemies, okay? They're initially enemies, but they realize something there, and they eventually fall in love, okay? Think about it. I mean, that's what Aladdin is. I mean, that's the same as, like, Despicable Me. I'm only talking about cartoons here. Despicable Me, now this is with a dad loving his kids. They're initially enemies and using each other for something, and then they realize there's something there. Beauty and the Beast, Cars. I'm only talking about animated movies here, but that's one of the major plot lines. The other plot line is the guy and the girl fall in love, but there's something standing in the way, maybe a breakup, but then they realize they're perfect for each other, and there's some drama that they've got to get back together. This is Cinderella, Beauty, Little Mermaid, you could throw all these things together. Here's the problem. 99% of the time in the movie, 99% of the time in the movie is basically spent talking about how they fall in love. How they fall in love and how magical it is, their relationship together. Only 1% of the movie is spent with what their relationship looks like. Because it's all, like, you know, all you see is, and they kissed, and then it's happily ever after. Like, what? The happily ever after is like 40 years of their life, and all you're talking about, the whole movie is based on this 1 month of their life, right? And what you do, what this does, honestly, what this does to your relationships is you have such a pent-up thing inside of you that, man, this relationship's going to satisfy me. Because I see in the movies how magical it is that people are falling in love, and I just want that feeling. La, 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 la. You know? I mean, that's what you get. I mean, you see from all the movies that if I just had this relationship, all in my life will be satisfied and I'll be happy. And we glamorize the whole falling in love. And incidentally, the Bible doesn't even talk about this. I mean, I guess you have love at first sight with Isaac and Rebecca. I mean, the Bible doesn't even have this thing. And the problem is, those initial feelings go away. Those initial feelings will fade. And we wonder why our divorce rate in our society is... We wonder why... Because relationships are not just about this falling in love period. It's about a lifetime of putting someone else before you. And I just throw this out. All these relationships, all these TV shows, movies, whatever, that are all about the whole falling in love thing, they're really leading you, especially ladies, into a temptation that you don't want to go towards. They're filling your mind with something and putting in your mind something, and eventually you start believing it as truth, that that is going to make me happy. And I think the same thing is true in a lot of our conversations. If all our conversations, all we're doing is sitting around and talking about who likes who, and did you hear this person ask each other out, and they kissed me, I mean, if that's all our conversation is, you're filling your mind with junk. You're filling your mind with junk. And this is exactly what I did at my camp when I was 14. I filled my mind with junk. Of course, I was going to act on that. And contrast that with what Scripture says. Above all, top thing, the biggest thing you should be doing is guard your heart. Guard what's going into your life. Guard what you're trying to find as your hope and satisfaction. For everything you do flows from it. It's the most important thing to not let that junk in, because if you let junk in, junk will come out. Philippians 4 puts it this way. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Compare that scripture right there to the movies you watch. Compare that conversation to the conversations you have with your friends. Make a little comparison. Garbage in will result in garbage out. And if you fill your mind with that, it will have an effect. And ultimately, what it will do is you will start putting these expectations on relationships that the relationship can never satisfy. The second kind of core principle is that you need to this date, if you want to find a good date, you need to realize your date will never satisfy you. And the more you allow movies, the more you allow your conversations to influence you, they will lead you astray, trying to lie to you. Talk about more about why this girl dating and I broke up next week and the principles about that. But I'll throw this one last thing out to you. If I see her now, yeah, it's a little awkward. Like, hi, how are you? Kind of awkward. But I just throw it out. I would still probably have a friendship with her if we had never dated. I mean, how many times have you seen a good guy friend, guy and girl, they're friends, you see this in your school all the time. They were friends, then they started dating, then they broke up, and they never can talk to each other again. And I get throughout, when I think about just dating for fun, I would just try and challenge you to ask, what am I gaining versus what am I losing? What you're gaining is you're gaining an opportunity to have a little bit of fun right now. What you're losing, though, is you lose a friend and the opportunity for a greater fun, a greater joy later. Not to mention you're putting yourself in a position of temptation that honestly I don't think you want to go into. I mean, in 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And as throw out my last principle, if you want to find a good date, you need to pursue God. God says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Instead of pursuing girls, pursuing relationships, pursue God. You know, the time I met Abby was honestly a time of real spiritual growth for me and renewal for me. It was a time where I was really trying to walk with the Lord and grow in my relationship with God. God was first in my life. I mean, even at the time, I didn't even talk to girls that much. To them, I wasn't mean to them, but I wasn't going out and pursuing, hey, which girl can I talk to, and which girl can I impress? And You know, Abby and I didn't date for about 14 months after we met. It was over a year till we started dating, and we hung out a lot, and I got to observe her and her character. And I'll throw this out there, too. You see the thing? I know a lot of this will make it nuts, sir. For the first year, one whole year, Abby and I dated, we didn't touch each other. We did not touch each other. We didn't hold hands with each other, give each other hugs, anything. Because I knew that I'd be tempted. And instead, I wanted to pursue God first. He says, seek first Him and His righteousness and all these things to be added to you as well. Honestly, we're in a culture where you want to get as much as you can as fast as you can. And I just really challenge you. When you say, look, I want to delay the fun that people say they're having now for something better in the future. I don't want this nickel now when I could have $1,000 later. Will you delay a little bit of fun now for something better later? I mean, we already talked about it. I mean, if you're like, well, this was the one. You know what? The one. We already talked about lust, but gentlemen, I'm just going to throw out one challenge to you. And read this verse out of 1 Timothy 5:2. It says, treat younger women, that's all the girls around you, gentlemen, all the girls in your school that you see here in this room, treat younger women as sisters. I'm going to throw in this phrase, with absolute purity. Let me be honest, would you think about your sister the way you think about those girls around you? Girls, would you think about those guys around you the way you think about your brothers? No, that's a little awkward. But that's the standard that God says. Would you say, instead of having this whole, like, who likes who things, would you stop and treat them like you would a brother and sister? Not the, like, treat them like a brother and sister as if I'm going to fight with them and pull their hair and all that sort of stuff. But with an absolute purity. I mean, guys, would you want other guys thinking about your future wife the way you're thinking about that girl? Guys, would you want other guys touching your future wife the way you want to touch that girl? Think about your future spouse. And again, what you're doing here is you're saying, do I want something fun now that's a little bit of fun now? Do I want that nickel now? Or do I want the $1,000 that God has offered us in marriage, that God designed for marriage and the fulfillment and the joy that is there? Or do we trade it? Or do we just trade it for a little bit of fun now? See, Abby and I knew the purpose of our relationship was for marriage, and we had time boundaries of how much time we would spend together and obviously physical boundaries of how much we touched each other. We had a purpose and a mission while we were in college of sharing the gospel with our friends. And we're like, look, we want this relationship to spur us on in that area and not be a distraction from this. And I'll say my relationship with Abby was way better than any of my other relationships. It set us up for a marriage that was really solid because it was built on selflessness and on purity. And it was not easy. There was definitely a lot of temptation. And a lot of people thought we were nuts. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. And my honest question for you is, do you want a good marriage? And I'm like, I know that's like a way out there sort of question for you. But do you want a good marriage? If you do, you need to find a good date. And if you want to find a good date, the best way to do it is to work on your relationship with God. To pursue Him, pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Instead of pursuing youthful lusts, instead of putting yourselves in conversations and watching things that are leading you astray, that will totally mess up your mind. Think about our goal. What is your goal? What is your purpose in these relationships? Would you rather have fun for a couple weeks? Or have a relationship that's amazing for a lifetime. Let me pray. God, I understand that a lot of this stuff, Lord, man, it's tough. It is not easy to be this countercultural and to delay gratification, delay pleasure. Lord, but God, help us to see and know that you have something better out there for us, Lord. Help us not to just, waste our time and energy on relationships that don't matter, Lord. On energy, on silliness, Lord. But God, help us to pursue you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.